Good morning, Rabotai. Chodesh Tov. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chaya. Yesterday, we started learning how our actions have a tremendous impact, not only on ourselves, but on the world around us. In Parashat Yitro, by the Aseret HaDibirot, we have the mitzvah of Shabbat. The Pasuk says, Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Hashem commands us not to do any melacha on Shabbat. As you know, there are 39 melachot on Shabbat, 39 different types of achievement through a person's actions, and we're not allowed commanded. Hashem says, Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Do not do any of these melachot. And then it says, Ata, you, Ubincha, and your son, Ubitecha, and your daughter, Abdecha v'amatecha, your servant, Ubemtecha, and your animal, Vegerecha asher v'sharecha. The Gemara Masechet Shabbat asks that there's an extra word, obvious extra word in this pasuk. The word lo ta'aseh kol melacha is talking directly to the person and telling him, do not do a melacha. And then it says, ata, you and your son. The word ata is extra, because when you told the person, don't do melacha, you're talking to him. Obviously, that includes him. Why do you have to say, don't do melacha? You're talking to me already. So why does the pasuk say, ata ubincha? Gemara Masechet Shabbat asked the question. Ayin Sham, look over there for an answer. Let some explain al derech apshat, simple, that even though the Torah already told me, do not do melacha, keep Shabbat the way you're supposed to keep it, but when it comes to tell you who else has to keep Shabbat, that's under your roof, which includes your children, your servants, your animals, the Torah repeats the word ata again, so that you understand how much of an influence you have over the people that I'm about to tell you are also obligated not to do melacha. Meaning, when the Torah commands that your children and servants and animals keep Shabbat, it's making you responsible for them. And it's telling you, ata. It all starts with your Shabbat. When your Shabbat is the right Shabbat, it creates an atmosphere, it creates a hunger in your children, in your servants, that they also want to keep Shabbat. You've affected not only yourself, like we said yesterday, the more you keep Shabbat, the more you love Shabbat, the more you want Shabbat. It's not only by you. It's by the people in your surroundings. Nowhere is this more clear, because of its, we'll call it extreme nature, than the famous Gemara in Masechet Holim. Gemara over there says that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, the great Tana, he was once going on a mission to redeem hostages. And the famous story over there, where he had a river that was blocking his way, and he split the river. The continuation of the story is as follows. Gemara says, he went to a host, somebody hosted him, Hachnasat Orhim, for Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Gemara says that the host, a kind host, he put barley, which at the time they used to feed animals. Today people eat barley. Those days was mostly animal food. So they put barley in front of his hamor, in front of his donkey. Gemara says, lo achal. The hamor didn't eat. No matter what they tried to do, the hamor wouldn't eat. The hungry hamor has been on the road for some time. He won't eat. Says Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair to his host, Dilma lo me'asran? Maybe you didn't separate ma'asrot from the barley? When you have grain, before you're allowed to eat it, you have to separate teruma and ma'asrot. Otherwise, not kosher. So it tells the host, maybe you didn't separate the proper teruma and ma'asrot from here. He says, you're right. Asrinu, they separated ma'asrot, says the Gemara, ve'achat. Hamor ek. Says Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, this hamor is going to do the will of God, and you're going to feed him non-kosher. And you read this story, it's a very famous story, but it's like one of those stories, like you say, okay, it's interesting. Hamor is eating kosher. What does a hamor know about kosher? He doesn't have to eat kosher. What is the point? First of all, how does it work? Why even share it with us? What do we learn from this? We're having a hard enough time getting Jewish people to eat kosher. You have to give us the story of the hamor. Now that we've become more educated on how life works, you understand very clearly what they're trying to tell you. And his brother. They're telling us a very simple reality, that what you do, if you do it the way it's done, according to the level of your actions, that's how much it will be able to affect the world around you. So if you're Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, this holy person, and you have a hamor that's with you every day, serving you, your actions and your kedusha bring the hamor to whatever level kedusha he's able to handle. that just like you won't eat not kosher, he also desires not to eat not kosher. We're not praising the Hamor like he's a tzaddik. It's not the point. He has no free choice. But he's been affected by the great tzaddik using him day after day. This should not be really a surprising story if you know the story of the Mabul. The same way the world was brought down by the actions of humans, the world could be raised. Just imagine the influence of one great man in the life of others around him. He affects his children, his servants, his animals, and the physical world around him has now an elevation, which means that elevation becomes a place that people will want to do better just by virtue of being around this man. His home will have this holiness to it. Just like when you go to Yerushalayim, his holiness.
No.
Just like when you go to Yerushalayim, there is a feeling of Kedusha. You buy the Beit HaMikdash, there's a Kedusha. That Kedusha affects you. It makes you want to be better. It makes you want to be holier. So too, a holy person, through his actions, is able to turn the area around him into a Yerushalayim. And therefore, his home becomes a place of Kedusha. And you walk into his home, there's something that can affect you. Doesn't mean you're forced to do anything. You're not forced in Yerushalayim either. But there's something there that you can attach to that you won't find in another home. This is different than influence that we are more familiar with. When you are around people and you act a certain way, people will learn from you. Usually, when we speak about influence, we speak about people being an example and others watching them and learning from them. This is deeper than that. It's actually changing the nature of what's around that person, which of course is a huge influence. But it's not about them seeing you. It's not the Hamor is learning from you. Obviously that can't be. You can't influence a Hamor. So what's happening here is something else. It's that you're actually changing the spiritual nature of the world around you. Ata, says the Torah, I'm about to tell you about your children, your family, your servants, your animal, the gerecha, even people who live in your city. But it all starts with you. You have the ability to make a big difference in their free choice. You can create a hunger in them, which will make this choice a much clearer one, a much easier one. Yes, Charlie. It says by Abraham Avinu, Vayomer Elohim El Abraham. Next week's parasha. Hashem tells Abraham, Ve'ata et beriti tishmor. And you should watch over my covenant with you. Make sure you fulfill your part of the deal. Again, simple. Ve'ata et beriti tishmor. And then it says, Ata ve'zaracha acharecha ledorotam. You and your children and your grandchild, your offspring. He said the word ata already. Ve'ata et beriti tishmor. Ata. Why are you repeating again the word ata? Says the Gaon. Again, Hashem is telling him. Abraham might ask, what do you want for my children? What does that do to me? My children keeping the covenant, talk to my children. How can I be responsible for my children? Hashem told them, Ata, the way you keep my covenant is going to make a huge difference in the way they keep the covenant. We say every day in Shema, the limadtem otam et benechem. Teach Torah to your children. Ve'limadtem, teach otam, them, meaning the Torah, the mitzvot, et benechem, to your sons. But if you look in the Torah, the word otam, which is supposed to be spelled with four letters, aleph, vav, taf, mem, otam, is spelled with three letters, aleph, taf, mem, which if you read it without the nekudot, atem. Torah is telling you, how do you teach your children? Atem. When you did learn, you're creating a desire in them to learn. When you do mitzvot, you're creating a desire in them. Interesting, Gemara and Pesachim. Gemara says, Hamisha devarim tziva kena'an et banav. If you want to learn how to give over to your children, very important principles. It says, Kena'an, he gave over five important principles he gave to his children. When he hit them, what could Kena'an give over to his children? He told them, Ahavu zeh zeh. Nice, very nice. Starts with beautiful flying colors. He says, love each other. Kena'an told his children, love each other. He says, Ve'ahavu et ha-gezel. And you should love to steal. That was number two. Number three. Ahavu et azima, love to cheat, arayot, you with your wife, with their wife, man, love it.
Love it.
Love it. No bayit ne'eman in our lineage. Not only do it, but love it. Have an emotional connection to stealing and to zima. Immorality. Gorgeous. Imagine Grandpa Kena'an by his deathbed giving the brachot to his children. Number four. Imagine this is the constitution. Number four. Ve'sin'u et adonechem. Your slaves, Kena'an, all slaves. He says, make sure you live with hatred towards your master. You have to hate him. Very nice. Beautiful.
He's the master.
Everyone, Kena'an, all slaves. His kids are all slaves. And here goes, number five. Ready for the final instructions from Grandpa Kena'an. Ve'al tedabru emet. Do not speak truth. Not only lie. If he just said lie, it's one thing. The person says you should lie, could be your lie, and sometimes you'll speak the truth. No. Do not speak the truth. Gemara, very hard to understand. I mean, we've seen some not beautiful people in life. We've seen some corrupt people, but we can never imagine the most corrupt person, and he would go over to his children and command them to do all these things. Very hard to understand that Canaan, the grandson of Noah, would be on such a level that not only he does these things, but he makes it a command for his children. As much as we try, we're not going to understand how it could be shitty. That's why you need the Rashbam. The Rashbam, Alav HaShalom, commentary in Masechet Pesachim, says he's bothered, obviously, by this question. It's ridiculous that someone would do that. Who would tell their children to live such a lifestyle and to love it? Says the Rashbam, Kelomar. Oh. Kelomar means, in other words, I mean, don't take this literally. In other words, Minhagan ken. This was the behavior of Canaan. He didn't actually go and command them. But this is who he was. Ke'ilu tziva alehen avihen. And since this is who he was, it's as if he commanded them. Well, that's what the Gemara means. He commanded them. He didn't tell them. He did something worse than tell them. He put it in them. What he was, he put that energy and those feelings and that attraction in his children. What a powerful Gemara. Gemara calls it Hamisha Devarim Tziva Kena'an Et Banam. He didn't talk to them about this stuff. But what he did was the biggest commandment. That means every father is constantly commanding his children. He tells them, make sure you always get angry. Make sure you always get nervous. Make sure you cheat when you can. Make sure you yell at your wife sometimes. Imagine in Shamayim, they're writing a Gemara about you. And they say, this man, Yosef, he went and he commanded his children to yell at his wife, to cheat his customers, to make up stories and lie. He'd say, what? I said that to my children. Sounds ridiculous. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that every person is going to have a Gemara written about him, about what he commanded his children. And it's not going to be as literal as a person might think. And it's going to be an awakening for him. How he was commanding his children to do things he never imagined. He was actually telling them the opposite. But he was commanding them through his actions in a much louder way. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, listen to these beautiful words. Ashrei Adam Oz Lo Bach. Mesilot bilvavam. Listen to these beautiful words. Ashrei Adam, says David HaMelech, fortunate is the person. Oz lo bach. That he finds his strength in you. Adonai oz le'amo yiten. Through the Torah, through the mitzvot, Hashem has given us oz, power. Fortunate is the person who gets his power from the Torah and the mitzvot. Ashre Adam Oz Loba. Some people, they're looking for their power from their money. Some people are looking for their power from their power over their friends, from their influence. Everyone's looking for power. Where do you find your power? Where are you looking? At your power. Ashre Adam, fortunate is the person that he sees his power and he receives his power from Hashem, from his Torah and from his mitzvot. That's true power. Nice. Ashre Adam Oz Lobach. Fortunate is that person. The next two words. Mesilot Bilvavam seems to be totally disconnected from the beginning of Azul. The word Mesila means a road. Mesilot means roads. Mesilot, there'll be roads, Bilvavam, in their hearts. What? You start talking about the individual. Ashre Adam Oz Lo Bach. Fortunate is the person who finds his strength in your Torah and mitzvot. Who's Bilvavam? Whose hearts are we talking about? What roads? Listen to this beautiful explanation. That when a person has such a life where his strength and his being is coming from Torah and mitzvot, what it does is that it creates in the hearts of the people around them mesilot. You've created the same road in the hearts of the people around you. So not only are you fortunate, but you're digging roads for the same to happen by them. Ashre Adam Oz Lo Bach. Fortunate are you. But you should know the effects are more than you. Mesilot Bilvavam. Your wife, your children, your neighbors, your friends, your community members. By you rising, it's making a path for them to get to where you are. Mesilot Bilvavam. Actions do not stop by the person. Listen to these beautiful words of Rav Yitzchak Huttner, Alav HaShalom. He says the following words. Ishiyut Ahat. He says one individual. Hahaya et Hayeha. Hagedolim. One individual who's living a big life. Mu'arim, that are lit up. Be'orah Torah, with the light of Torah. One individual living a big life. A life that's lit up. Mishkala, the weight of such a personality, of such a person. Gadol is greater. Mikama vekama ra'yonot. It's greater than someone getting up to speak in front of 10, 100, 1,000 people, giving them powerful ideas, ni'umim, speeches, ve'yetzirot shebaruach, words that come out of his mouth. You're a great orator. You're a great speaker. You get up and you speak and share the most powerful ideas, inspiring words. Wow. This man is changing the lives of thousands of people. Look how he speaks to inspire them and uplift them. Says Rav Huttner, which very good. He's not saying we shouldn't do that. But he says one great person that's lit up with his Torah has a more powerful effect on those thousand people than the one who spoke to them. That personality, just being around them, can have a deeper effect on them changing than the one speaking to them. It's an unbelievable thing. What he's saying. That who you are has a more powerful effect than what you say. Of course, if you are and you say, it's beautiful. But if you had the choice, we need to import somebody great into our community because we need a Mesilot Bilvavam. We need some. We all need to open up the hearts of people. We need to bring someone from the outside. You have a choice. You could bring a great orator, or you could bring a gadol, a great person, who will be able to change our community. Rav Huttner says, the great person. So it's shocking. The great person, but he's not really like talking, doesn't know how to articulate. Is there any greater example? He didn't say this, I'm saying. Is there any greater example in Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah tells us, clear, that he couldn't speak. But yet, he was the greatest influencer and the greatest teacher of the Jewish people. Not just his generation, forever. Torah tzivalanu Moshe. Tzivalanu Moshe. How was Moshe tzivalanu? Through the light of Moshe Rabbeinu. His Torah was more than what he taught. It was who he was. That light is very, very powerful in its effect. His power was where the words were coming from. Was himself. We're not saying a person should not speak. Not the point. The point is that who you are speaks much louder than any words. And therefore, when you need to speak, and you do speak, and you have that, nothing like it. There was once a very big philanthropist that was in Eretz Yisrael visiting Rav Steinemann, Alav HaShalom. Old tzaddik. And this God-fearing philanthropist who gave out millions of dollars of charity every year, he came with a question to the Gadol. He gives out millions of dollars of charity a year to the Olam HaShivot in America. All the Shivot, the schools teaching Torah. He's a very big supporter. And someone came over to him who was involved in a large project. The person explained to him that there are many Jews in America that are not connected, not observant, and there is a strong desire that we find in the secular Jews to want to connect. And this project is going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to get involved in this project in a big way, I'm going to have to slash the support of the yeshiva. So basically the question was, the yeshivot will survive without me. They won't be maybe as good. Maybe they won't be able to pay as much. Maybe they won't be able to get as quality teachers, rabbis. They won't be able to have as comfortable a bit midrash. On the other hand, we're saving people. It's a great question. And I don't want this question to be a question that anyone uses for their own situations, because obviously there's a lot of detail that everybody has to share, and I'm sure there were more details. So I'm not here coming to answer this question for anybody. It should not be halacha lemaase. But what the rabbi told him is definitely halacha lemaase. The rabbi told him, this hunger for Torah and growth that you're speaking of, I mean, think about today in Israel especially, but in our community. Look at our community 50 years, 30 years ago. Not 50, 30 years ago till today. Different world. Even the less religious are hungry for most. In Israel, hundreds of thousands of Baalei Teshuva, secular Jews. There's a spirit of hunger for growth. So the rabbi tells him, where do you think that hunger came from? You think he just came one day? Did he ever start getting hungry to get better? He just woke up one day and said, oh, especially look at the world around us, how corrupt the world is. Way more than 30 years. If someone stood 30 years ago and told you, could you predict in 30 years what our grandchildren will look like? And you see where the world, and he'll tell you where the world's going in 30 years. What would you have said? You would say, who knows what's going to happen to us? The world itself is a much better place than the goy world, the streets.
And whatever.
But do we see in our own community, and many other communities as well, tremendous rejuvenation and hunger for Torah and mitzvot? He said, where do you think that came from? So that came from the B'nai Torah that are learning. When you have a yeshiva of guys learning, the more pure they are, the more hunger they're creating in the world around them. The hunger for Torah and mitzvot is specifically the burden of the people who are learning. The better they learn, the better they do, the more they create mesilot bilvavam. The more they create a starvation, a feeling of, I need more. Something's missing. You take away the yeshivot, you take away the Torah, you're trying to save those people. But if you take away that, they're not going to be those people. What a concept. You've heard this concept before. But the truth is, it's a Gemara. It's not like you have to go to a Steinman. It's a Gemara Meforeshet. Gemara says, Beferush, this is Gemara. I'm going to end off today's Gemara. Gemara Sanhedrin says, Shena la tzadikim, when the tzadikim are sleeping, imagine the tzadik goes to sleep. Okay, he's sleeping. Not at night. He's sleeping at a time when he's not supposed to be sleeping. He's sitting in the bet midrash. Falls asleep. Like some of the people listening. Says the Gemara, Shena la tzadikim, when the tzadik sleeps,
Ra'lahim.
It's not good for them. Okay, that makes sense. If he's sleeping during a time where he's supposed to be up, it's not good.
Ve'ra'la'olam.
And it's bad for the world. When a tzaddik's sleeping in the Beit Midrash, it's bad for the world. Bad for the world. He's sitting by his shtender somewhere in the back of the Beit Midrash. He's sleeping. Why is that bad for the world? Because I have to do the work. But you understand, this is a Gemara. You sleep, Rashi says. And you ask, by the way, that when the Rishayim sleep, beautiful. It's good for them and good for the world. Why? Okay, good for them, bad for them, we understand. But what does the world have to do with this? That's the Gemara saying. That when the tzaddik is learning, when the tzaddik is elevated, when he's bright, like Rav Huttner says, the whole world is being changed. Yes, we don't see it, but that's what we have to realize, that there are things in life that we don't see, but are real. It's an unbelievable thing. And when the Rasha is sleeping, it's good for the world. The world is not as bad as it could have been if he was up. It's an amazing thing that a person should realize the level of his effect. Responsibility. If you're a person who understands what Torah is, unfortunately, many people don't know. They never learned. Can't blame them. But the guy who knows, you understand emet, you understand Torah, you understand mitzvot, you understand the level of responsibility on your head. You'll say, but I'm doing better than everybody else. You're not understanding. Everybody else is dependent on you. If you're going to elevate yourself, you're going to take them with you. You're going to affect them. The more light you bring into yourself, the more light you bring into them. It's tremendous responsibility. Amazing. Okay, there's more on this subject. We'll continue tomorrow.